A good prayer, Bobby, this morning, reading of the Scriptures, Matt. Good morning, everybody. We're glad that you're here, and we hope and trust and pray that as we study the Word of the Lord, that good will be accomplished to the glory of God. In the Bible, you find three times that the reading that Matt read for us a little while ago from Mark chapter 8, they're found in the various passages, Matthew 16, 24 through 28, and in Mark 8, 34 and 38, and in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 27. I want this morning to summarize, basically, an idea that Jesus here points out. I want you to know how valuable you are. Jesus makes that very clear in all three of these passages. If you could gain the whole world and lose your own soul, what have you profited? You're worth more. You're so valuable. And in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 28, in verse 26, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That's you. In Mark, for what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke. In Luke 9, verse, look at it, 24, or verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantageous? Or what is a man advantage? What is advance does he have if he gained the whole world and yet he loses himself or be cast away? Jesus makes it very clear concerning the value that he places upon us. We are valuable. Your soul is the most important possession that you have. And notice that he says, if you could gain the whole world, boy, look at that. If you, for example, my friend, not only the whole physical world, not only the geographical world, not only includes the business world, if you could the scientific world, the intellectual world, notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, you're worth more than all of that. What, Lord? You mean I am, you are? Yes. If you were to gain it all, and yet you lose your soul, you've made a terrible bargain, is what Jesus said. Notice, if you will, friends, it is eternal. We will live on. People are promoting today ideas that when you die, you just die all over. When I go to the Word of God, I find that the Word of God teaches me to do all that I can, to learn, to have knowledge. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 9, verse 10. Therefore, we want to be wise, but how? Through the knowledge of God's precious truth. Your soul is that part of you that has judgment. Yes, it makes decisions. You, I, moral decisions. What is good? What is bad? Joshua called upon the people in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. That's you. That's your soul. Your soul is that part of you that involves your will. What is your will? Your choice in accepting or rejecting something that's brought before you. We studied in our class, in the auditorium class the other day in Matthew 21, verses 28 through 31. Jesus gave a parable about a man that had two sons. He said to the first one, go work in my vineyard. He said, I go, but then he didn't go. The second one said, I will not go, but afterward he repented and he went. That individual made a decision. Your soul is that part of you that has emotion, like love and fear. In Matthew chapter 22, 36 through 40, The Bible says we're to love the Lord our God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Your soul has that ability to remember. And the mental capacity for storing up knowledge of ideas and events. You remember in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 25, where Jesus was telling the man concerning the fact that he wanted to be able to do what? He wanted to be comforted. No, my friend, here the Bible emphasizes the fact that you do remember, and that's us, our souls. In Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, there Jesus gave the example about the rich man and Lazarus. Here's a man that's rich. Here's a man that fares sumptuously every day. Here's a man that's a poor man. Here's a man that is called Lazarus. He's even begging for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Now the Bible tells us very clearly that both of them die. Guess what? When they die, they go into the Hadean world. And the Bible tells us concerning Lazarus. He's in the bosom of Abraham. And the Bible tells us his soul was saved. He is comforted. But what about the rich man? Where is he? He's in torment. His soul is lost. But look what he can do. He can talk. He did so as he talked to Abraham. He wanted to come and dip, just put his finger in water, cool his tongue. But if that could not be done, he said, then if that can't be done, please send someone to warn my brothers. He didn't want his brothers to be in torment with him forever. He wanted someone to go and warn his brothers. And the Bible tells us how that Abraham told him, if they don't believe the prophets, Moses and the prophets, they wouldn't believe someone that was raised up from the dead. But I want one thing that came clear to me as I was studying this lesson in the last couple of weeks. Whenever the person dies, where are they immediately? The Bible answers that question. The Bible tells us that after the rich man died, where was he immediately? He was in torment. Where was Lazarus? I know why the Bible tells us. The Bible says that he's in the bosom of Abraham. But how did he get there? Did you read it? The Bible says the angels came and took him there. Angels did what? They took Lazarus and put him where? In the bosom of Abraham. When the thief confessed that Jesus was Lord, you remember how that Jesus returned. And Jesus said, today, when today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. I sat and watched my father die. I was by my mother's side when she died. Last August the 13th, I was with my sister when she died. I didn't see the angels, but I know they were there. I did not when my daddy expired. Where did he go? Immediately. If he's saved, he's in the bosom of Abraham. Isn't that great news? When my mother, as I was crying, there's others in the room with me. Friend, I want to ask you a question. I didn't see the angels, but I know they were there. Why? That's what angels do. They do the work of God. And they were, how wonderful to know that just like with the Bible telling us concerning Lazarus, so likewise they shall be with us. Think about it. The very next second, if you were to die, where would you be? Is it right? Is it wrong? Where would you be? Have we thought about that seriously? Do you not see the beauty and wonderfulness of serving the Lord faithfully? Oh, my friend, when I look at the Scriptures and I see how important it is for us to be ready at every moment so we might be able to enjoy of being where we want to be with the Lord forevermore. Somebody came up with this little poem. Remember, as they were walking in the cemetery, remember, friend, while passing by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, soon you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. Bob, when he passed away a couple weeks ago, couldn't believe it. He died within 9 or 10 days after he got sick. But he was a good man. And surely, as somebody else added, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. I believe these people who loved the Lord, I wasn't with Charlie when he passed away, but wasn't it wonderful to know he died in the Lord? I wasn't with good old Fred Robertson whenever he died, but wasn't it wonderful to know he knew the Lord? Katie Black, when she passed away not long ago. Ah, isn't it wonderful to know that when you die, you go and you're then in a place, if you're saved, you're going to be in that place where Lazarus was. But if you die and you're not ready, you'll be in torment forever. What a sermon. Three times, Jesus emphasizes it. But we make so many errors in this old life. We look at the pleasures that we have. We want more of that. Man is a worshiping individual. And truly, he wants to worship something. Let's worship the true and the living God. The value of your soul is measured by the devil's interest in it. Jesus said that the devil is the prince of this world. He is the god of this age. The devil is greatly at work in our world, and he's after your soul. Yes, remember Adam and Eve? You remember how that God told them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die? You know what the devil did? He lied. He lied to Adam and Eve. She believed him. And she took and ate and gave to her husband, and he ate. The devil told man that God really doesn't mean what he says. You will not surely die, the devil said. How many times did the devil say that to people today when they're doing that which is wrong? The Bible tells us what the Lord had to say about that. He had a plan. His plan was to do everything he possibly can to save us after Adam and Eve had eaten of the forbidden fruit. Yes, God built his kingdom so that we can be in it, Matthew 16:13. But friends, the devil also has a kingdom, and he's building it, and he wants everybody in this building to be in it. He doesn't want you to be in the house of the Lord. Remember when Jesus in Matthew 13:19 said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Peter warns us that the devil is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may will devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And even Peter the apostle was an object of the devil. For in Luke 22:31-32, you remember how that Jesus said, Peter, Satan wants you, sift you. But remember, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Yes, God knows what he's talking about. He knows that lies come from the devil. You must remember that God said something about the devil when he called him in John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. No truth in the devil. Don't listen to the devil. When he speaks of the lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar, Jesus said, and the father of it. Don't let him deceive you. any one of us. Truly, when we go to the Word of the Lord in John 4, 23 and 24 and Hebrews 10, 25, God wants you to come back tonight, if you possibly can. We're going to have a singing tonight, sing praises to the Lord. Will you be here? I hope you're alive. I hope you'll want to come, that you'll be. The devil will tell you, you don't have to go. Why should you go? He will tell you it's all right for you to have a little beer, to go out dancing, to really live it all up, wearing modest clothes. It's hot now. You only have one life. You don't want to be different. And yet when you read God's Word in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Why? My brethren, he says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The value of your soul is measured by God's concern for saving it. Yes, God's not willing that a single person perish. We don't want anyone in this building to be lost. God makes it clear in 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some men count slackness, but He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All you have to read is the book of Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, these people were told to repent, and they did. And God saved them. All you have to read is what God said in Genesis 19 through 24 and 25 concerning Sodom and Gomorrah. These people were so wicked. No, they were not saved. Why? There was no repentance. And the Bible tells us in words that we cannot misunderstand. The Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. God commended His love toward us. Why? Because when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did you realize that Jesus would have gone all the way to the cross and would have died for you if for nobody else. He loved you that much. He loved us all that much. But the value of the soul, number four, and the lesson is yours. The value of your soul is measured by the severity of its loss. Think about it for a few moments. It's awful when a person loses things. For example, when he loses his health. That's terrible. When he loses his money, doesn't have anything left. Or whenever he loses his friends, doesn't have anybody who's his friends. Whenever he loses his character, oh, it's terrible, awful when a person loses all of that. But what about the loss of your soul? What would you compare that to? Sometimes children get lost, you hear about them, and they'll send out, and whether it's in the mountains or in the forest, and many people come out to help. They send helicopters, people gather together. They're trying to find a child or maybe an older person. It goes on in the newspaper, it goes on television, goes everywhere. People just concerned about that individual, and they should be. Surely, a child that's lost, 6-year-old, 8-year-old, out in the place, they don't know how to get back. We want to find them. We want them to be back home safe. God wants that for you. God wants that for me. When we're lost, He wants us to come back, and He sent His Son. Are you prepared for eternity? Am I? Are you sure that you've been born again? John chapter 3, verse 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. You won't get in. There's no way in. Some of you in this audience, young, middle-aged, and old, who've never been baptized, Oh, why not now? Your soul is so valuable. Don't leave this world unprepared to meet God. There's a song that I love. I'm going to read it to you. And that is a question. Knowing that God loved us so much, knowing how much God has done to save us, how much do we really love God? What is Christ really worth to your soul? Jesus the Lord laid His glory aside, sinners to save and make whole. Freely He died our transgressions to hide. What is He worth to your soul? What is He worth? What is He worth? What is He worth to your soul? He died on the tree for you and for me. What is He worth to your soul? All that was His for the sinner He gave. Pointed the path to the goal. Sin would deprave, but the Savior would save. What is He worth to your soul? Question again. What is He worth? What is He worth? What is He worth to your soul? He died on the tree, yea, cruel tree, for you and for me. What then is He worth to your soul? He that He saves, He will keep to the end. Under His blessed control, men may depend on this wonderful friend. What is He worth to your soul? What is He worth? What is He worth? What is He worth to you, your soul? He died on the tree, the cruel tree, for you and for me. What is He worth to your soul? All who trust Him in sunshine and gloom shall, when they reach the bright goal, ceasing to roam, be forever at home. What is He worth to your soul? What is He worth? What is He worth? What is He worth to your soul? He died on the tree for you and for me. What is He worth to your soul? He showed how valuable we are. He gave. God gave the most precious thing, His own Son, and He died so we might be saved. If you've never been baptized, arise now and obey the gospel and be baptized. If you need to be restored to the Lord, oh, why not now? We're singing this beautiful hymn, 538. Oh, be prepared. If we can help you in any way today, just remember, Jesus has spoken concerning the soul. It's the most important thing that any one of us have. If in this next hour some of us pass away, where will you be in eternity? It's going to happen to all of us. The question is, we do not know when. But we know if we're prepared and ready for the Lord, He truly will take us home to be with Him. What is He worth to you? You accept His invitation. He's inviting you to come. Won't you come while together we stand?